Last time on Acrylics. You see me as mysterious? Why?
I'm not sure. I guess it's because I haven't seen you talk to a single soul since I started working at the market. You're sitting in a nearly deserted park. And how about the fact that I walked up to you from behind and before I could speak, you knew who I was? Now I can think of an explanation for the first two, but how about the last one?
That's because I have super hearing.
Super hearing? How super?
Aurora rises from her seat. Just tell Gabe I've been working at the store for 6 months, not five. Acrylics, episode 6. It is a new day and we're at the supermarket. Aurora is in the employee locker room when Vince walks in. He says nothing to her, only watches her as if he's trying to figure her out. He goes into his locker and places his things inside. She leaves the locker room without saying anything to him as well. Vince is restocking the shelves as he looks over to see Aurora scanning prices. Gabe passes by and compliments Vince's work.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Vince watches Aurora with a slight nervousness in his eyes. For the fourth time, he approaches Aurora.
How do you do that?
You see this button here? Point and press.
That's not what I mean. One second you're here, and next you're not. You've done that to me 3 times now.
Centuries of practice.
Centuries? Yeah, okay. Don't tell me then. But just so you know, if you would have told me, then I would have told you that Glover Hotel over on Main Street has a new good-looking bartender at nights, and I could have gotten you free drinks. But if you insist on keeping your secret, then I'll keep mine.
Vince walks away, obviously inviting Aurora out for drinks. There is something about his demeanor that Aurora finds intriguing. We're at the Glover Hotel, more specifically, the bar in downtown San Francisco. It is night, and Vince is the new bartender at the Glover Hotel. Hardly anyone is there. Vince's only company is a man that has clearly had too much to drink.
Give me another whiskey, but make it 2.
Sure thing.
Vince makes the already intoxicated man another drink and hands it to him.
So what's the deal? Is this place always so empty? What are there, 4, 5? 3 people here, and that's including us.
I'm supposed to say this is the hottest bar around, but I'll let you be the judge.
Man, I'm on a business trip, and this is my last night down, away from my nagging wife, and I was hoping to come out here and enjoy myself, if you know what I mean.
You think you had enough yet? I was thinking I could maybe lock up early. I have a second job in the morning.
That's what I'm saying. We made work. Hard, and we could use some relief every once in a while. Hey, you know what we should do? Me and you go out and hit the clubs. Hit every club San Francisco has to offer. All in one night.
Tempting, but like I said, I have work in the morning.
So what? Blow it off. So we can get blown off.
Have a good one, pal.
The man gets up to leave. Vince sees him out, walking him to the elevated doors leading to the hotel room. He makes sure everything is in order before locking the bar up. Vince exits the hotel lobby, walks to the elevators, where he then takes the elevator down to the parking garage. He is walking to his car while fumbling in his pockets looking for his keys. I'm surprised you didn't take his offer.
Oh, Jesus, Maya! What are you doing here?
Did I frighten you?
I would say more like caught me off guard. What are you doing here?
You invited me here, or did you forget?
No, I didn't. It's just I expected to see you at the bar, and when you didn't show, I...
Take a walk with me.
At this time of night?
Yes, at this time of night. Vince agrees to take a walk. We are in the streets of downtown San Francisco. Night has fallen.
So why didn't you come in and have a drink?
People drink to feel a sense of freedom. Their thoughts, feelings, and secrets are suddenly at the tip of their tongue, and the reasons for keeping those secrets just goes away.
You don't drink because you're worried you'll say something you'd regret.
I don't drink because there's nothing to free. What I think, what I feel, I say, and what secrets I keep aren't really secrets, but my being. Vince is captivated, and while smiling, he says,
"Where did you come from?"
There's just something about Aurora that Vince finds so alluring, and to no surprise, Aurora does not answer, nor did he expect her to.
"I've been meaning to ask you something. The first day I met you, and even the second, you seemed like you loathed me. What changed?"
"You remind me of someone I knew."
"Someone close to you?"
"Used to be, but it's in the past." Vince looks at Aurora because he too can relate to that. "You never told me why you came to California."
"I had a bad breakup a while back and I wanted to come back home. A fresh start."
"I want to show you something." Aurora hails down a taxi. The car approaches, they get in, and Aurora has the driver drive them down to the Golden Gate Bridge. Aurora and Vince find themselves viewing the city from the walkway of the Golden Gate Bridge. The sky is clear and the moon is full and bright.
"Wow, the view here is amazing. Not to mention this bridge seems so much bigger when you're actually on it."
From the top, the moon seems like it's just a few feet away. Vince looks at the moon.
"It looks that way now."
Then he looks back down at Aurora. Her face and eyes nearly sparkle in the moonlight. He finds her very beautiful.
"Maya, there's a carnival, and if you want, we can go."
"No."
"Can't I ask you? Why?"
"You have to ask, and you should know already." Vince and Aurora take a taxi back to the Glover Hotel. The taxi drives up to the front entrance of the hotel. Vince gets out.
"Can you at least give me a hint why?"
"I'll see you around, Vince." They say their goodbyes, and Aurora takes the taxi home, while Vince heads back to his car in the hotel's garage. It is now the next afternoon. We are in the supermarket employee break room. Vince is sitting and having lunch with Gabe while discussing the time he spent with Aurora the night before.
"Let me get this straight. After I specifically said for your own protection, don't even look at this girl wrong, you take her for a walk across the Golden Gate Bridge past 1 a.m. when no one else is around? I didn't strike you as the daring type."
"She's not at all what she seems. I've been trying to figure her out, but it's not easy."
"Another thing that's difficult to understand is your infatuation with her. I mean, sure, she's hella attractive, but everything else about her, like, I don't know, her people skills, is crap."
"I'm telling you, there's something different about this girl."
"That's what all men want to believe."
"There is. She's the type who knows exactly who she is and what she wants to come across as."
"Yeah, right. Find me a woman who's not about playing games or asking me a whole lot of questions, and I'll pay you a monthly service fee of $29.99.
Gabe's rambles gives Vince a clue to why Aurora might have turned him down. Aurora is walking through the supermarket's parking lot when Vince comes running up behind her. Vince tells Aurora that she is coming with him to the carnival.
"What if I say no again?"
"I'll pick you up at 4.
Vince walks away without waiting for Aurora's response. Aurora likes the fact that he believes he dominates her. Aurora has now made it back home. She is watching the news as she always does before she goes to bed. With nothing of real importance being reported on, she turns in for the night. It is the next day, and after spending most of the morning and afternoon outside taking in fresh air and clearing her mind, Aurora doesn't get home till 3, where she then prepares for her outing with Vince. At around 4:45, she is ready to go and heads into the kitchen. She turns on the television, grabs a bottle of water out of the refrigerator, and watches the news while she awaits Vince's arrival.
"Here in San Diego, where another vicious attack happened only 2 hours ago, we have reports that only one of the 4 victims is still alive, but is in crucial condition. The 32-year-old victim has been rushed to San Diego Memorial Hospital. Investigators say he is a crucial witness that can lead to a break in their case. I'm sorry, hold on. I'm getting some new information. We have just learned that the 32-year-old victim, now identified as Samuel Wallace, has passed away in the hospital. I am truly sorry for the pain and suffering continues on for the families of one unsolved murder after another. When will this brutality end?"
Aurora mutes the TV as she is taken back because she realizes that if K-Rod is in San Diego, he's only an hour away from San Francisco. She takes a marker and circles San Francisco and San Diego on the map posted on her refrigerator, then draws a line connecting the two cities. Aurora knows if she stays where she is, K-Rod will find her. Without a second thought, she begins to prepare to leave her life there behind. Aurora has anticipated this day, and this is why she never stays in one city for too long. She calmly and collectively enters her bedroom and opens her closet, where she grabs a small suitcase already filled with clothing. She unzips the suitcase and opens the top of the flap. Inside sat some folded clothes, a stack of money, and a small gun. Aurora slowly reaches out and picks up the gun. She looks at it for a moment. She hears a knock on the door, so she places the gun back in the case and zips it up. Aurora takes the suitcase into the front room and then approaches the front door. Before opening it, she checks the peephole, only to see that it is Vince outside. Vince, you're early.
Am I? My watch is a little fast. I can give you a little more time.
Something came up and I can't go.
Vince looks down and notices the suitcase.
You going somewhere? For how long?
I'm not sure.
And I'm sure there's nothing I could say to convince you to stay.
No.
I'll tell you what. All I want is a few hours of your time and I'll drive you where you want to go myself. No questions asked. Say yes?
Aurora looks back at her refrigerator to view the map she has posted. She then takes a second to think about what is at risk. She hesitantly agrees.
Okay.
Vince places Aurora's suitcase into the trunk of his car as Aurora sits in the passenger seat. He then gets into the car, starts it up, and pulls off from Aurora's apartment. Vince and Aurora arrive at the carnival. There's so many loud noises and smells and people. Aurora is already annoyed. Vince guides Aurora through the carnival.
Is it always so crowded?
Crowded is one of many definitions for the word carnival.
They walk up to a cotton candy stand.
Another would be junk food. Would you like one?
Because Aurora has never had cotton candy before, just as she has never had the experience of being at a carnival, the whole thing feels foreign to her. Vince notices how out of place she is beginning to feel.
Is that uncertainty in your eyes? Someone once told me that's a sign of weakness.
Aurora takes the cotton candy out of his hand and begins to eat it.
Maya, why are you here?
Because, by your face alone, you were two steps away from begging me. And I have a thing about begging.
I mean, here in San Francisco, working at some supermarket.
Why do you want to know so badly?
You just don't seem like that person.
That person?
Yeah, that person who wakes up every day doing the same routine, living the same boring life day to day. There's something much more interesting than that about you.
Aurora actually smiles and gives Vince a washed over look.
What is it? I can see on your face that you want to tell me something. Say what's on your mind.
Do you really want to know what's on my mind?
More than anything.
It's just, as of right now, my mind is telling me I shouldn't be here with you. That no good can come from this.
Okay, that's not something I was expecting to hear, but tell me this. What do your instincts tell you about me?
That when I'm around you, I can tune all the chaos in the world out. That you're easy.
Always follow your instincts, then.
Vince slowly eases his way over to Aurora, hoping to give her a kiss. Their faces come closer and closer and closer. Their lips are just about to touch.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Acrylics.